Welcome to Kind World.
On any given night in the U.S., more than 500,000 people are homeless.
And it's especially a problem in the major cities. We're talking New York, L.A., even here in Boston. These are places that have some of the most expensive rents in the country.
And one city that's seen some of the steepest rent increases in the country is Seattle. And that's where this story takes place. 39-year-old Hattie Rhodes and 44-year-old Andrew Constantino remember an awful moment back in 2013 when they looked at their rent increase notice and realized they couldn't afford to stay in their studio apartment.
You know, we basically got priced out of Seattle while we're both working. We had had the same apartment for nearly a decade.
And I'm thinking, okay, I mean, we'll find something within a month, within 2 months. Something always comes up.
We were just shocked that there was nothing affordable.
To make matters worse, Hattie had just lost her waitressing job because the restaurant where she worked closed. Her boyfriend Andrew had been and still works as a community organizer. They bounced around, sometimes living on friends' couches, sometimes in shelters. They applied for affordable housing, but as a childless couple without serious health issues, they weren't exactly considered a priority on the wait list.
I think that's when I reached my despair, and I started to accept that, you know what, we're going to be homeless for a while.
Their only option, if they wanted to stay together, was to move to a homeless encampment and set up a tent.
It was hard. It was a hard sell, for sure, you know, because you have a lot of these internalized feelings of failure. What will my family say? What will my friends think? You know, I'm staying at one of the tent cities, you know. It's like you've lost everything.
Hattie says she worried about the stigma of being homeless, so she kept it from employers and coworkers at her retail job.
You know, here in Seattle, they think of, oh, everyone's on drugs, or it's a mental health thing. I don't have drug addiction. I don't have a mental health issue. What I have is an economic issue that I cannot seem to get out of.
Winter, with its unrelenting rain, was the hardest part of living outside.
You are never dry, and that wears on you a lot. So getting up in the morning and knowing you have to put on damp clothing is really demoralizing. You just want to curl up and pretend like you're not in the situation you're in. And then go to work and pretend like, hey, yeah, I got wet on the way to work, just like everyone else.
We were like, you know what? Let's try to get a better situation than another winter in the tent.
That's when Andrew noticed several communities of tiny houses popping up across Seattle. He'd met some of the residents and the people building them. Builders like 69-year-old Melinda Nichols, who's the first apprenticed female carpenter in Washington.
If you come to Seattle and you drive down the freeway and you look to the right or you look to the left, you will see tents all over the place. And it's disturbing and it breaks your heart.
Melinda spent the last 20 years building affordable housing with the Low-Income Housing Institute. But the nonprofit couldn't keep up with the demand. There's still more than 11,000 people on the streets. So about 4 years ago, Melinda and her colleagues had an idea. Why not build a bunch of smaller, less expensive units to shelter people until they find permanent housing? So they started building tiny houses across the county.
I don't look at them as a permanent solution. I look at them as a temporary, positive solution.
Melinda helped build the little blue house that Hattie and Andrew now live in.
I just looked around and went, oh yeah, I can definitely make this work. This is excellent. I was excited. It's bigger than the tent that we'd been staying in. It's going to be dry in the winter, which was the thing that I was the most excited about.
Hattie and Andrew live in a tiny house village of 50 people. The best part of living in the village, says the couple, are their neighbors.
When you see that human beings of all different types can live together and will care about one another, it's like a spiritual experience.
The couple has been helping manage their village since the residents have to put in community service hours instead of rent.
I think I gained more self-confidence being homeless than I've ever had in my life, where I stopped worrying so much about what others thought of me. Because I realized that I have value to this community and therefore wider society.
Being in the tiny house village made them realize there is one thing they absolutely can't live without.
A sense of community. Knowing the people around you. Having peer-to-peer support is life-changing.